Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure. As always, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm glad you're here. Jeffrey Zabar is here. I'm glad he's here, too, because Jeffrey is one of the smartest guys I know when it comes to the mind of the entrepreneur, especially the mind of the micropreneur. All of you sole proprietors out there, you folks out there working off your kitchen table, or maybe in the on the roll top in the corner of the den, or maybe you got your own space, and you're uptown. You have your own bedroom that you've carved out for yourself, or maybe, you know, regardless of what your setting is, regardless of how it looks around you, you're kind of an army of one. Plus your peeps that support you, your people around you. And Jeffrey knows all about that because that's how that's his world. He is the chief home officer, the 2001 2001 Journalist of the Year. I'll get that out in a minute. And that was the SBA gave him that national award back in 2001. He's the author of a number of books, including Home Office Know-How, including Safe at Home. And he's our good friend Jeffrey. Welcome back to the show.
Always great to be with you from the home office in the suburbs here.
Jeffrey, I was just telling the audience about your role as the king of micropreneurs and that whole thing. And I was just reminding myself and telling the audience again that back in '89, I was a national sales manager for a company. And that was a job that I took after being downsized from a previous job 18 months before. And so here it came at 8:30 on May 21st, 1989, not that I remember the exact moment or anything. And I was told that, you know, the entire sales force was going to be outsourced. And so, to independent contractors. And so I didn't have anybody else to manage. And so have a good life.
Right.
And I said, should I get my resume out and dust it off and go looking for another job? And that's when I said, I don't need help screwing up my life. I can do
right.
that by myself.
I like that approach.
And I've never looked back. But
right.
I will tell you, over the next few years, I was a micropreneur. I first worked for my. I did have a regular office in my home from previous teleworking days, and so I just literally switched over in 5 minutes, made a business card and started going out into the marketplace saying, "Hi, I'm Jim. How do you like me so far?"
Right, right. And you know what? I got to tell you, a lot of people, there's a lot of things you have to do. You got to treat your micropreneurship as a business and all that sort of fun stuff. But a lot of people really think it's rocket science. And we as individuals have historically been sort of, we've been hardwired through society to think we can't do it on our own. We've been hardwired to think that you go to college or whatever you do, you graduate from high school, you go out and you get a job and you punch a clock, and there's smarter people out there who can run the business. You just do what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that we have to, we've shown especially since the 90s and, the late 90s and into the oddies, as it were, that we are capable of doing this on our own. We now have the technology. Of course, we have broadband, we have computers and laptops and mobility and all that sort of stuff. But what's really important is how we have been able to develop the mindset to work on our own. And that's really key, because I think that a lot of people think they can't. Well, you know what? We can. Thank you very much.
Of course, I had 10 years before... less than 10 years altogether. I had actually been a teleworker for Xerox. I worked a territory for Xerox, and I worked from my home. I had a regular business office, so I was fortunate. I had already worked in that environment. I'd already had established the discipline. I knew that I could do it, and I knew how to run my own little business there in that office, that one room office in my house. And so that was an advantage that I had. I didn't have to go to the kitchen table. But you're exactly right. And think about Jeff. You did this. You started about the same time. You started your sole proprietorship about the same time.
In 89, yeah.
Yeah, and so think about what we had. I mean, I had a modem. I had an 800 baud Hayes modem that connected me to Prodigy. That was it.
Right.
Yeah, you know, that was like, and they had like four things in there.
Exactly. And only the other people who had that 8429782 at prodigy.com or whatever it was. It wasn't even Jim Blassingame or Jay the Bar, you know.
But there was no connectivity to anybody else like that. But I think about those days, but the thing that's consistent about those days and somebody starting out today. To me, it's the like what you said a minute ago. You know, can I do it on my own? How much do I need? What do I need to make this happen? You know, do I have what it takes?
Right.
And you have to find that out for yourself.
And I would hazard to guess that so many of us do have what it takes, and we do. We've said many times before on the show that it's not that you quit your day job on Friday and you start your new work at home or independent gig on Monday. I mean, there's business that goes into it. You're going to have your friend Tim Barry who comes on and talks about business planning. He'll tell you, you take months or even years to plan your business. You don't want to spend too much time, but you take sufficient time to plan it and get your financing and your marketing and your investors and whatever the case, get it all in order so that you're ready to hit the ground running. This is not about the leap of faith in and of itself. This is about a well-planned leap of faith. But I've been surfing the web a lot and finding a lot of the independent mindset is blossoming out there. And we were talking off air about how we all seem to be in our own little private Idaho thinking I'm an army of one. Well, you know what? There is a lot more soldiers in this. I'm a freelance writer and consultant. There are a ton of freelance writers and consultants out there, and I'm finding them. The more I surf around, the more I'm finding that they're out there and not competing against me because, I've got my own little space and there's a lot of media out there, especially the internet.
Even though there might be some competition out there, thing about it, though, is the collaboration, the sharing of ideas, just the fact that you know that you're not alone, that's much more valuable than whatever might be lost from competition.
Right, and you can either live in fear of competition or competition can drive you to greatness, and you find that across the internet. It really is driving us to bigger and better things.
Competition is how you seek excellence.
Right.
One of the main forces behind excellence. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Here's Booker T and the MGs. I'm Jim Blassingame. Jeffrey Zabar is our guest. Stay with us. Here's Sweet Baby James, ladies and gentlemen.
And trouble, and you need a helping hand.
Bringing us back, Sweet Baby James Taylor, 23 after the hour. When you need a friend, you know where to find it, where to find that friend, ladies and gentlemen. If you're a small business owner, just check out my show, Small Business Advocate. You can find it on the radio around North America or across the world over the internet at smallbusinessadvocate.com, and just tune in. If you need a little motivation, need a little inspiration, a little information, that's what we do here. And we bring really smart people on the show to help us do that, including our good friend Jeffrey Zabar, and that's what we're talking about right now. The entrepreneurial mind, the state of being, especially a micropreneur back in the early days. You know, Jeff, when I started my business, I had just been downsized, as I said. And I had two teenagers and two mortgages. So I was highly motivated.
That's one way of looking at it.
Highly motivated. And I look back and I'm thinking, I know what you were feeling, but what were you thinking?
Right.
But I believed, and this is what's so great about America, Jeff. I believed that with 20-something years of experience in those days in the marketplace and my contacts and what I knew about being a professional and delivering customer service and, et cetera, et cetera. I believed that I could literally go out into the American marketplace and I could carve out a place for myself.
Right.
And of course that turned out to be true, But isn't it incredible the concept of belief in yourself and belief in our system, in our economy, in our marketplace, and the hope of things to come? Isn't that an incredible thing that entrepreneurs can have?
Well, I've written about that many times on Chief Home Officer, my blog, and I liken it, without belittling and minimizing what you just said, the hope of a dog that chases his tail and never catches it, or my dog, my dingbat dog, or my loving dog when he's a good dog, quiet on the sofa, or when he's, a crazy animal, he's my kid's dog. But when he chases that squirrel and trees that squirrel, and we'll never catch it. But we'll always chase it. But hope springs eternal, and it's what keeps us doing what we do. It's what keeps us getting up on Tuesday morning after Monday morning. We had a terrible sales meeting, and someone who we thought was in the bag turned us down cold. Or yeah. Friday afternoon when we just don't want to leave the home office, the small office, our office, because mm-hmm. we're kicking on eight cylinders, and we just are. We're fueled up and ready to rock and roll, even if it is Friday. And, that's what keeps us doing what we do. And that is, it is the American dream, from crafting something from absolute nothingness, seeing it to fruition. And again, not to say that my home-based business one day will become a seven-figure outfit that I can sell to somebody, but as James Chan, an author, wrote a book called Spare Room Tycoon, the concept is to grow your business as big as you want your yep. business to be, without it stretching you beyond that point. So if it's a home business and you never want it to outgrow the home office and need staff and all that, grow it as big as you feel comfortable and have that success.
That's what's so cool about the 21st century, though, Jeff.
Yeah.
There were plenty of entrepreneurs in the 20th century, but every one of them, from Ford to Gates, every one of them knew that if they were going to follow their dream, they had to get really big.
Right.
But you and I can make, in order to make any kind of decent money, but today in small businesses, I mean, you can maintain your a small size, but that doesn't mean you're restricted on how much revenue you can produce and how
right.
much profit you can produce because of the technology that we have today. That's what's so cool about it. I mean, there are going to be a lot of people, Jeff, who are never going to go public and who are going to make a lot of money
right.
who 25 years ago would have had no choice but to go public to scale their business the way that they would need to.
Absolutely. And we look at virtual assistants and sort yeah. of online administrators who can come along and sort of admins and come along and help you out in running different facets of your business
yep.
that you don't want to handle. I mean, it's not about being a loner. It's not about doing it all yourself. I do, for example. It's just the way I've always done things. Could I be more productive? Maybe. But I also see myself, I see a lot of idle time that I can take advantage of early morning, late afternoon, when I'm not writing, when I'm not out there foraging for new business. That's stuff that I can do, and that's a conscious decision that I want to keep it all to myself. But I think that we as small business owners in the digital age can use the internet, can use things, application service providers, whether it's Salesforce to manage our sales and our sales outreach efforts. Whether it's QuickBooks or Intuit and some of the other providers who do, for example, online bookkeeping,
mm-hmm.
You don't need to have a quill and a parchment.
There's an incredible infrastructure of support on 1,000 levels
right.
that are available to you that, Jeff, you and I didn't have 20 years ago.
Absolutely.
It's not easy being a business owner, is it, Jeff? I mean, it's not an easy thing to do, but there's never been a time in my memory, and there's never been a time, Jeff,
right.
when people have had more opportunity to find the things that they need to be successful.
Right. If you want easy, punch a clock.
Yeah.
Okay. If you want easy, go out, and that's I've read a lot again in the blogosphere of late where people are saying this ain't easy. To become
right.
freelance in whatever you do, just get one thing, understand one thing, it ain't easy. But
yep.
like I wrote recently, to
I
paraphrase, I think it was the Peace Corps. It is the toughest job you'll ever love.
It's if it were easy, monkeys would be doing it, Jeff. Hey,
there
Jeff, here's that website again, please.
Hey, and I am doing it, so go figure. www.chiefhomeofficer.com.
Thanks, Jeff. See you next time, buddy.
Always great, Jim.
Jeff
Thanks
Jeff Zabar, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. I will be, too, right after these messages. Stay with me.
While our hearts were young.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.